what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they make an excellent transition into our teachings, which is why we use them. Get it? The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Don't forget, the media does an excellent job of brain bleaching. Yeah, that's not good. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Here's my favorite one. Because just like you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Wow. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. This kind of question. This. Why do we hesitate to ask other people to pray for us? What is it in us that restrains us for asking for help from our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Wow. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be just very sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. In fact, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like talking to that person that has the gift of encouragement. That is your gift, brother.
That is a great gift, Dave.
It is an awesome gift, and so I'm glad to have you on board and helping me out, encouraging everybody who's listening, calling, texting, and connecting in some way, shape, or form. Also, by the way, if you go, you know, that phone thing, Dave, it's kind of scary. Well, if that's the case, you can also text us live during the show. So keep in mind, it's 11:35 exactly in San Diego, and it's a 1:35 in 5 seconds right here in Dallas. So I'm just saying, you can call, because we're here right now, right this second. That's right. If you want to text, by the way, you can do that too, 214-210-8483. Let me give you that again, 214-210-8483. Let me give you that with a semi-professional voice,
214-210-8483.
There you go. Also, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That also is live during the show. David, the little A thing with the little thing around it. Yeah, I know it has a name. I don't care. david@hemustincrease, based on John 3:30, hemustincrease.org. Also going to send you up to the website. A couple of things to tell you about the website. There are a couple of different transcriptions for those that like to read more than just listen. There's also access to 4,500 hours. You know, that's a long time. 4,500 hours of podcasts covering A to Z. Put it that way. A to Z. You mean everything? Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Everything. A to Z. So that's accessible there as well. Plus, there is a free app Both the station apps and then the ministry apps, they're free, no problems. They're not big. They don't take a lot of space on the phone, anything like that. And then on there is a place to donate. And we think donating is important. We think being in partnership is important if you think that this type of ministry is good to help advance the kingdom of God. If you don't like it and you don't want it, don't give. But if you want to be a part of it and you want to be connected to it, then give. Ask the Lord. Ask him to direct you. Make sure that you have his approval in all your giving. But always make sure you're giving, because God showed his love for us and that he gave his one and only son. So that is an act of love. Our scripture for today, 2 Corinthians 8:3, it says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." Never give by being manipulated. Only give because it is something that is inside of you in connection with the Lord for you to give. That's why you give. Just that simple. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Just, I can't tell. You see, the thing is, you know, with those, is like, okay, is that like an animal, or is that some kind of Star Wars-y, because with Jennifer, you have to actually check.
You have to ask that question, but I think we said that's a cheeky type of thing, like a little cheeky deer,
okay,
cheeky
that's,
noise.
That's what we're going to go with. All right. Let's go into this material that we're into. For those that don't know, we are actually in the Gospel of Matthew. We are in 13, and you are going to love some of this teaching. I guess that's a nice way to say it. We are in Matthew. We are in chapter 3, and we're going to explain something. We're going to get into a deep understanding of Jesus's style of teaching, because you know what he does in this text we're going to review? He tells you why he does it. So it's very fascinating. So Matthew, so you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, number one gospel in there. Why? To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Matthew's was written to the Jew. Ha, keep it simple, not even complex. How do you know that? Because Mark and Luke and John do more explanation of Jewish customs than Matthew. Matthew doesn't do that because the assumption is to the Jews. See, that's how that works. Keeping it simple, let's go into Matthew chapter 13, the one that doesn't have a lot of elevators named after it, and we'll look at verse 3, and it says this: "He told many stories," and it might say parables. He told many stories, many parables, such as this one. "A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The plants sprang up quickly, but soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died, because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Other seeds fell among thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blades. But some seeds fell on fertile soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand." Whew. Wow. All right, so let's stop right there before we get into we're going to explain it. And the reason that we're not going to do that is because in about 12 verses, Jesus explains it. So I'm not going to explain it. I'll let Jesus explain it. But let's talk about what he is talking about, and let's look at a couple of things that he does say that's rather fascinating. The teaching is challenging because I'm not going to give you that full explanation. Yes, we have a full explanation. No, it's not happening today. Yes, it will happen next week. The reason that the full explanation is going to be delayed, of course, is because the text later on talks about it, but much happens in between. But what we need to do is acknowledge that this chapter is a chapter of parables in Matthew. And it starts with the parable of the sower. So I want to understand something about a parable. Super important to grasp. Because and too little has been made of parables. So it's like you kind of got to be careful. Remember, you don't want to extreme out, right? You don't want to go to the fire and you don't want to go to the water. You don't want to turn fully left or fully right. You want to be careful, right? Scripture is very clear about that. A parable is something that is cast alongside something else. So Jesus's parables were stories that were cast alongside of a truth to illustrate that truth. So this is one of the best definitions coming up. They were teaching aids and can be thought of as extended analogies or inspired comparisons. A common description of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what you got to get. And so sometimes you get into the parables, and what happens? People ignore a lot of things that are in the parables. Some people get into the parables, and they go so deep, they're putting things in for interpretation that might not be there. That might not be the intent of the story. You have to remember why Jesus was using the parable. And when we get to the last part of this teaching, and find out that the second reason that he does use a parable is not exactly the most favorable reason you thought. But he does want us to grasp it and to understand that. And so here's what I'm going to say, and then go back to something Jesus said. Jesus explained that the use of his parables, and we're going to get into this in verse 10, had two purposes. I want you to remember that. Oh, the parable has two purposes. Oh, Jesus is the one who said that. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Before we get there, look at verse 9. So Jesus just finished saying, verse 8, some seeds fell on fertile soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted. King James, New King James will say 30, 60, 100 fold. Okay? That's just times. It's like the same thing. Don't get weird. Here's the thing. The thing is, everybody you talk to who's a Christian goes, that's me. That's me. That's me. Of course you're going to say, of course. It's the same argument people make when Paul goes down and says, some say of I'm of Cephas, I'm of Peter, or I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. And all the people go, Christians go, that's me, I'm of Christ, which is hilarious because that's not the context. The context is you're not supposed to say I am of, you're supposed to say we are. So that just shows you that whole thing's wrong. But backing up, Jesus said this in verse 9, anyone who's willing to hear should listen and understand. Wait, what? Not everybody is willing to hear. And people that are willing to hear, they'll get to it. They'll even grow in the understanding of how the parable applies as you grow as a Christian. But some people are not willing to hear it, and they shut it down because they don't want to hear what has to be said. You have to keep that in mind. That's one of the things that are taking place. The people that are not willing to hear it, guess what? They're about to find out that to a certain degree, Jesus is going to grant that request because they don't want to hear it. They're not going to be able to hear it. You think, whoa, wait. No, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that. First, take a deep breath before we dive into it and answer this question because it's a trivia question. Which group of religious people did not believe in the resurrection? Is it the Pharisees? Is it the Essenes? Or is it the Sadducees? Which group of people did not believe in the resurrection? Didn't believe it. Nope. Don't think it. Nope. They tried to be Jewish people who had no belief of anything else taking place beyond that. It's kind of like a theory that many people try to use, saying this is it, this is all there is to it. That's not much to that. We will give people a chance to answer. That's called existentialism, by the way, and there is no such thing as Christian existentialism. It is an oxymoron, kind of like jumbo shrimp. Anyway, if you think you know the answer to that question, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Which group just not like, no resurrection, no. Pharisees, Essenes, or Sadducees? Somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. How was your weekend?
It was great. You know what? Thank you for asking me. It was great. Noelle and I went to lunch yesterday, which we hardly ever get to do. And we went to there's a new Chinese place in Rockwell. And I was like, all right. So it was great. It was so good. Thank you for asking. That's so nice that you asked me. It was great. How was your weekend? How was yours? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. Thank you. Yeah, it was real good.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Pretty straightforward, not a tough one. I think this is, I don't even know that you'll have to guess on this one. From the religious sect, which of them just didn't believe in the resurrection? Is it the Pharisees, the Essenes, or the Sadducees?
I think it was the Sadducees.
That is correct, Amundo! Which is why they were... Sad, you see. That's right. That's so good. Excellent job. Way to kick it off. That is fantastic.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Outstanding. Outstanding. We're outstanding in our field. Okay, so let's go back into the test. See, don't you like that? And then Sadducees. So they tried to be existentialists, right? And you get the, people throw that word around all around. You know what it means? Not, just ignore it. I mean, they didn't believe in resurrection, angels, anything like that. Boy. And Jesus, by the way, said, you guys are in a lot of trouble. Anyway, let's just move on. Let's go into the next test, because now the disciples have heard Jesus do this thing. They're in Matthew. They're in 13, right? We got this holy writ. And Jesus has just told his, like, this major parable, like major. And they're like, whoa. So I want you to look at verse 10. Look what happens. The disciples came and asked him, why do you always tell stories / parables when you talk to the people? Why are you doing that? What's going on there? Why are you telling parables? They want to know. And so Jesus is going to give them an answer. Okay? And his answer has a twofold purpose. A twofold purpose. Look at what he says. He explained to them, which is good to have him do when he's talking about parables and stories, you have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but others have not. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away from them. That's why I tell these stories. Because people see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't really understand. So, just so you can be on the same page with Jesus, because it's not my page, it's his page, and we want to be on his page, there's two reasons why Jesus used parables to teach. The first one is so that he could reveal truths to those who want to know it. So just stop and ask yourself, are you a person who wants to know the truth? Not, I want just enough to cover my fire insurance. I want just enough to get in the door. I want just enough so I can be just a little bit sinful here and a little bit saintly every once in a while and just get in because I just don't want to burn up in the flames. Is that where you're at? Or are you a person that's like, I want to know everything Jesus has to say. I want to understand it. I want to grow in it. I want to develop my walk in him. I want to reflect him. I want to be in tight relationship with him. I want to know that when it's bad and when it's hard, I can come to him. And then when it's great and it's awesome, I can dance with him. Are you that person or are you the person that's just trying to get through? That's just a totally fair and honest question because Jesus is letting people know, look, there are people that want to know the truth, and I'm going to give them that deeper element, that deeper understanding. And it's not going to be a religious thing. It's not going to be a religiosity. It's going to be a connection that starts here on earth and continues for all eternity in heaven. And I know the world's like, oh, it's Christianity. It's like, whatever. Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Anything less is awful. It's just that simple. And so the disciples are like, Why are you telling people stories like this? And he tells him, you have been permitted to understand. You have been given the honor. You have been given the blessing. You have been given the glory. If you ever heard Jesus as you're reading in your Bible and you hear him teaching on a parable and you look at that parable and you go, wow, that is a great, great thing for me to understand, a great truth. Let me explain something to you. You just got blessed by God, letting you know you get to get it. Does that mean you're going to send every nuance and everything? No, but you know what? You grow in it. You get it. You draw closer. You love it because you love him, and you draw closer and closer. And look what he said. You've been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Others have not. Not so for everybody. Some people will say no. That is their, we talk about it on a pretty regular basis, that is their free will right. Does God know what they're going to do? Of course. But I want to share something that's going to, again, before you get all solid in your theology, I just want to point this out to you. This is really just going to be a mind blower, and then we'll close it out with something that's kind of cool. Listen to this. In the parable of the sower, there are, of course, as you would guess, especially in commentaries and scholarly work and stuff like that, and pastors that teach it and people in Bible studies that teach it, there are a multitude of interpretations as to what the four different grounds for receiving the seed equate to, whether they equate to salvation or not. So it's a big issue. People are like, well, first person, they're not saved, but the second person, could they be saved because they saved and they bailed? The third person, could they be saved because they're saved, but then they're just stressed out by the world? The fourth person, see, this is what people do, right? Okay, here, I wanna do the one thing that I think Jesus would want us to recognize. In one sense, they all do represent salvation, and then in another sense, they don't. And you think, you always say that, Dave. You always say it could be partly this, it could be partly that. It could be part in, it could be out. It could be pre-mill, it could be all-mill, it could be post-mill. It could be all of those. Yeah, right, here's the key. The reason that you need to understand this is because some people who have hard soil, the first two few times they hear the word of God and the gospel, don't always stay in that hard soil. And sometimes after they've heard it, it gets softer somehow by the grace of God, and they start receiving and responding to it. So before you say, I understand this fully, take a step back. There are truths that Jesus is teaching you and I on a regular basis through his word, through the revelation of or illumination of the Holy Spirit in regarding the word of God. And in some things, you and I are just like 30, 60, 100 fold. Then there's a few other things the Lord puts in our lives, and we let the weeds grow up with it and choke out the fruit. There's a few other things where we spring up and go, yes, 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 yes. And then about an hour later, we go, no, 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 no. And then there's a few things the Lord teaches us, and we just pay no attention, and the enemy just comes and takes it out. And it's just like you think, wait a second. You see what happens if you get overly complex in a parable? That's all I'm showing you. And yeah, some soil is really I had to hear the gospel. Let's see, Billy witnessed to me 5 times, 6 times in a row for hours before I even said, right? So what I'm trying to show you is that's how that goes. So here's the thing. I love stuff like that. So here's the thing, okay? I love Al. Because you know the people who are Calvinistic or Arminian, they're just like going blah, blah. They're going crazy, right? So I got it. Okay, look. Never forget that you got to make a decision to get saved. Never forget that God is involved in that decision, whether you think he is or not. That's how it goes. So here it is. In our text, the disciples are asking an amazing question. Why do you always talk to people about the kingdom truths in story fashion? Jesus' answer is the most remarkable answer ever in this kind of like confrontation. It's been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. God thinks so much of you that he won't let your hard heart stay hard. He wants you to know. And you know what he wants you to know? Him. He wants you to know more about him and the kingdom and what he's doing and all the stuff that's taking place. Everyone who is a genuine Christian wants to be one of those 12 guys? When Jesus said, follow me, you want to say, yes, I'm following you. And if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, you just need to be honest and pray a very real prayer. Forgive me for sinning against you. Please, Jesus, fill my heart by faith. Let me walk with you step by step. And you will never, ever be the same. Okay? All right. For those in San Diego, you can keep listening to K-Bright or listen to the rest of this show on HeMustIncrease.org. For those of us in Dallas, Texas, taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. Bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under 5 different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch. Ouch. But this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is. And this is just too. And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. It seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way. "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop talking."
KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.